conceived by Jesus.
On your way through this adventure, you will be confronted.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Welcome to our new show. This is Sedona Dreams, and my name is George Whitehurst Berry, and I'll be hosting this show with two regular guests. One will be David John Oates, who is the discoverer of the phenomenon known as reverse speech, the voice of the unconscious mind. And then we'll also have another regular guest, Francis Newton. And Francis is working with the mathematics of the markets in accordance with natural numbers and as well as natural cycles. Tonight we have a very special guest. Our guest is Rob Usher, and Rob has made some very spectacular predictions using the cycles of the planets and astrological, astronomical sequences of events. He has hit the nail on the head many times. And Rob, this is our first show, so it's an honor to have you on as our first guest. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you, George.
All right. Now, you had mentioned before we got on the air that you had come up with some exciting new discoveries in the astrological work that you do. But for those of our listeners who might not have heard you on my previous talk show, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your previous predictions?
Sure. I'm a self-taught astrologer. I was very fortunate to have some good guidance over the years. And while there's many different disciplines under the umbrella of astrology, such as medical astrology and relational astrology, the areas in which I focus are horary astrology, which means literally of the hour, and mundane astrology. In the matter of horary astrology, what we're doing is we're interpreting the relationship between stellar influences and a person's thought or an event or a situation, for instance. In mundane astrology, what we're doing is interpreting world events and, in many cases, destinies of nations, geopolitical, socioeconomic matters, if you will. Some of the areas which I've had success in making predictions have been in politics and, well, for instance, in November of 2010, using America's own nativity, and a nativity being the chart of the birth of the United States of America, I saw that the President Obama had a period of time coming up where he was in danger of physical injury, and it didn't result in much, but it was a busted lip in November of 2010. Throughout 2011, I had some pretty good hits predicting a new solar cycle, a uranium-based incident, which manifested with the Fukushima nuclear power facility incident. I predicted a a downgrade in the United States credibility during that year due to the U.S. Saturn return, which came in. There was a downgrade of U.S. creditworthiness that came in conjunction with that Saturn return, and various breaches in U.S. national security, which is a focus of the blog that I currently write. This year, I had put my post up for April, beginning April 13th through May, where I had picked a peak point of potential for violence in the U.S., significant acts of violence at home, which I predicted on the 15th of April, which came in coordination with the Boston, the unfortunate Boston bombing.
All right, and that's just to mention a few. Now, we have a little bit different structure with this show in terms of the breaks, and I really like the format, because we go to break basically at about the half hour instead of going to break about every 10 minutes. And that makes it a lot easier for continuity. One thing is, I noticed you tried to call in on the landline, and just before I was trying to about to bring you on, I think that you called in on the cell phone. And what we have right now here in the Phoenix, Arizona area is a one doozy of a thunderstorm. It's lightning and thunder outside, and I can hear the roaring sounds now as we're on the air. And it sounds like there's a little bit of crackling on the cell phone. It might be better if you were to call back again on the landline, and I'll introduce our listeners to your website while you're doing that.
That would be great.
Let's try that, okay? Listeners, the website is robertwilliamusher.com. That's robertwilliamusher .com, and there you can see how to get the subscription to Robert's work. So just let's try this, and we'll try the landline here. It should work a little bit better. Okay, Rob, can you hear me?
I can hear you, George.
All right, that sounds much better. Excellent. Okay.
It does.
All right. So, we certainly are not complaining about this thunderstorm. We've had temperatures up around 109 or so. That's the official temperature for, that's the Chamber of Commerce temperature, because, typically if you look at any bank time and temperature, you'll see it's about 5 to 7 degrees hotter. They take the temperature in the shade for the official the official temperature here. So we welcome this respite from the heat. Let's get into a little bit of the basics, because some of our listeners might be very familiar with the predictions based on nothing more than natural time cycles, which of course some of the major non-astrologer scientists have absolutely verified. So, for example, there was a scientist that worked for RCA, and they wanted to know when the most likely times for electrical storms would be. And so they had all these different predictive models and statistical models. They didn't work very well. And what the scientist did, that and this was not an astrologer, he was working for RCA trying to predict the next storm, which electromagnetic storm, which might interfere with radio broadcasting. And the best predictive model that he came up with was a heliocentric or sun-centered astrological model. So again, the study of astrology is nothing more than a predictive ancient science based on the natural time cycles of the Earth and the Sun and the planets. So heliocentric being sun-centered and geocentric from our point of view on the Earth. So from our geocentric point of view, obviously the Sun does not revolve around the Earth, but from our geocentric point of view, it appears to do so. Again, using these natural time cycles, many scientists, some of them not in at all into the natal aspect of predictive astrology at all, but simply what the most ancient branch of astrology is, which is called mundane astrology, which is predicting physical events on the Earth, not just reading somebody's chart, as which would be natal astrology, but rather predicting events which can be tested. Either you make a future prediction, either it comes about or it doesn't. So you have just like any other science, you have a test. Did it happen or not? Was this individual correct or not? So let me ask you directly, because some people might say, oh, you're studying astrology. Is it the work of the devil?
I don't think so. I've been studying it for a while, and I've yet to find a connection to the devil. What I do find a connection with, though, is mathematics and recurring planetary events. One of the most fascinating is, of course, the Metonic Cycle, which is a 19-year period in between which the new moon occurs on the same day of the year. And some of the events that can happen from one new moon to another 19 years later can be very startling. Anybody who's been watching the news recently is familiar with the tragedy here in Arizona, the Yarnell Hill fire and the tragic death of 19 Granite Mountain hotshots. There was a 19-year period separated by approximately 7 days from which the site of the South Canyon fire in 1994 on Storm King Mountain in Colorado, 14 assorted hotshots, smoke jumpers, and helitacks died in very similar circumstances.
Well, these are the kinds of things which can be tested. So if a mundane astrologer predicts a future event, like an economic collapse, for example, either it happened on that date or around that date, or it didn't. So again, this is something that can be tested. It's as with any scientific model, it is either it happened or it didn't. So it's verifiable. So it isn't just something that's theoretical and cannot be tested. A hypothesis that can be tested is a well-established principle in science. So we have a lot of precedent for this, and of course what Rob is referring to, the Metonic cycle, the Greek meton, but again, I believe, Rob, that the Metonic cycle was in fact known about long before Meton.
Probably, yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Okay, so now again, you've been making predictions. You have on your website information about a newsletter. Could you tell our listeners about that?
Well, actually, the newsletter has been converted strictly to the blog. I'm no longer doing a print newsletter. Everything that I'm doing, as far as predictive work or judgment, astrological judgment, or even editorial, is all going to be on the blog free of charge. It's been a while since I've done an editorial, but I did publish one this evening, and it comes 2 years to the month from a similar story that I did titled, Hey America, This Is Not Capitalism. And in this particular story, which I've titled The Curse of the Corporate Person, or I'm sorry, The Curse of Corporate Personhood, I treat the reader to a bit of a background as to the difference between capitalism and corporatism, as well as the astrological events that took place surrounding the event that most authorities agree established the birth of corporate personhood in the United States. And it's very interesting because the, as I stated in the article or the editorial, that the astrological conditions for the USA at that time on that day, May 10th, 1886, were ominous. It was like we had everything going against us at that time. And due to the devious actions of one thoroughly corrupt judge, Justice Waite, the destiny of the USA was negatively altered. And certainly there is some crossover between mundane in terms of the destiny of a nation and natal astrology for an individual. It's had that that chart been for a person on that day, I would say that that was a person whose life was going to be pretty well destroyed for the rest of their existence. Their conditions would have been very negative. That is what the United States has been dealing with ever since that day. And if you go to the web, go to the blog and read that story, I'm sure that most people are going to agree that the perceptions that America has been maintaining regarding what is capitalism have been erroneous over the years, and I think that this article is going to help shed some light on that.
All right. Now, again, you mentioned capitalism, etc., and while you were mentioning that, you also mentioned that some astrological predictions that go along with that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the market predictions or economic predictions you've made in the past, and then what do you see in the future for the United States?
Well, from the position that we're in right now, with Jupiter's being positioned in the sign of Cancer, and for the U.S., particularly in the seventh house, forming conjunctions to Venus and natal Jupiter, and then on to the Sun, it's all very positive. I think that we're going to see a little bit of a boost in the economy up until early November, when Jupiter goes retrograde. And at that point, I think that combined with other stellar influences that will be occurring at that time, it's going to have a very negative effect on the U.S. economy, and it is going to be a bit of a trigger point. When Jupiter again goes direct later on in 2014, then there should be a little bit of a recovery. But I think that it's going to be the incident that does truly take the U.S. economy down one major step from where we're at right now. It's, in other words, if you thought things were bad a couple of years ago, you're going to be very disappointed with what's coming up within the next couple of years.
All right. Now, I believe a lot of listeners on the network certainly will be already very familiar with the mechanics of the debt money system of the private central bank, the so-called Federal Reserve, and the topic of private central compounding debt, there being two kinds of slavery, one chattel slavery and the other debt slavery. Chattel slavery is very much talked about, but not so much debt slavery. But of course, you just look at the statistics now of the compounding debt, and the amount of credit card debt is astronomical, but the amount of student debt is even larger than the amount of credit card debt. So the private central bankers are helping to raise a whole new generation of debt slaves. And that is being talked about quite a bit, but for this show, let's look at this from an astrological perspective. In the coming economic implosion that you're talking about, how does the chart, or how does the significance astrologically of the Federal Reserve Bank factor into all of this?
Well, the United States has some distinct problems from the time of our birth, and obviously the founders did not know about the presence of Pluto at that time. But in the U.S. nativity, Pluto does occupy the U.S. second house of income and resources. Pluto forms an opposition to natal Mercury in the eighth house of death and taxes and joint resources. The combination of Pluto and Mercury can be very manipulative and very deceptive. And over the years, this opposition, second to eighth house opposition, has proven to be a tremendous undoing for the United States. I think that when the U.S. Has its Pluto return, in other words, when the planet Pluto makes one complete revolution, transiting revolution in the chart of the United States, and returns to the point of 27 degrees Capricorn, I believe that the Federal Reserve is going to be severely challenged. But that's years off yet. That's 2017, and a lot can happen in between. And when we do reach that point of that Pluto return, it's going to put Americans in a position where they're either going to continue to buy this lie, or they're going to reject it once and for all. And if they buy the lie, then it's going to be carte blanche for the Federal Reserve to really stick it to the American public. If they reject the lie, then you can expect what's probably the most dangerous organization on planet Earth to put up one heck of a fight before it exits.
All right. And we've got about, a little less than 4 minutes before we go into the break here.
If I could, you had asked a question on Outlook, and if I could just finish up on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to say that throughout 2011, before I took a hiatus on my newsletter, I was very bullish on gold and silver, and we've seen gold and silver go up to amazing levels during that period of time. We've also seen a little bit of a pullback and leveling off, but it's in my opinion that when we see the events that will be connected to the retrogradation of Jupiter in early November, along with other supporting stellar influences, that gold and silver are going to make their next big move up on the charts.
Well,
at this point.
Yeah, now,
I'm very bullish on the metals.
Now, okay, now that's a very interesting prediction, because again, that can be tested. But what I'd like to do when we come back from the break is talk about the long cycle that we're in from an astrological point of view. So we have a super cycle of a massive boom and bust cycle, and these cycles are not natural in the sense that if there is an honest money system, they don't happen. They happen when there is a fundamentally dishonest money system, and then they happen with regularity, which is very predictable in a mathematical model. And so, for example, because of the very mechanics of compounding debt, you have this debt trap, which the Rothschilds have been constructing and executing for centuries now, where you have a period like the Roaring Twenties, where there is a temporary illusion of prosperity, but because the debt is piling up faster than the money supply, because it is a debt money system privately issued by non-producers who didn't produce anything to create the debt, the illusion of temporary prosperity like the Roaring Twenties is always, not sometimes, but always followed by an economic collapse like the Great Depression. So I would like to, when we come back from the break, talk about how this super cycle that we're in today astrologically fits in with the previous super boom and bust cycle of the Roaring Twenties followed by the Great Depression. And again, I think we've got numerous canaries in the mine shaft, but one of the more recent ones that comes to mind is Detroit. So we got about 20 seconds before we go into the breaker, and that's the topic we'll discuss when we get back. And then Rob, would you like to, in the second segment, would you like to take any callers?
Sure.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back after the break.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Brent Johnson's nationally acclaimed Freedom Seminar on how to live free from government regulation is now available for home or office use on VHS or DVD. This 8-hour seminar includes detailed information on how to opt out of income, Social Security, even property taxes. Protect your property from attachments, liens, or levies by the IRS or government agencies. This incredible seminar is now on sale for only $129.95 in VHS or DVD for only $169.95. That's a $50 savings. Save even more if you also order Brent's smash hit book, The American Sovereign. Get both for an amazingly low $189.95. That's an additional $40 savings, and priority mail shipping is included. Order your set today. Call 1-888-385-FREE. That's 888-385-FREE or online at www.freedomradio.us. This offer is for a limited time only, so don't wait. Call 888-385-FREE or online at freedomradio.us.
Hello, I'm Michael from Colorado, and at 68 years, I was feeling the sand run out of that hourglass. I understand that I create my own reality, but I wanted a jump start. Along comes RNA drops. Okay, I'll bite. Ascension by default. Right. So 4 months down the line, I find my genital herpes, the gift that keeps on giving, isn't showing up. I guess I didn't want it anymore. Now I'm getting out of bed without the joint pains. The night sweats are gone. The sore, red, cracked, and bleeding skin of my hands is becoming new again, and perhaps most welcome of all, the cares of life starting to disappear in that rear-view mirror. Whatever the RNA drops are doing, they are functioning like what I would describe as my personal alchemical adaptogen, opening channels of communication with my own non-physical. Find out what RNA drops will do for you. For a free mini bottle, you pay only shipping, go to michaelsrnadrops.com. That's michaelsrnadrops.com.
Fung cycle, the super cycle, the artificially created boom and bust cycle of the Roaring Twenties, followed by the Great Depression, the being the product of the compounding debt of the so-called Federal Reserve Bank, the private central bank. How does that mesh, or how does that relate to astrologically? How does that relate to the super cycle that we're in right now?
Well, in February of 2011, in my newsletter, Judicium Astrologica, I published a cover story titled "It's the End of the World as We Know It," and it was about the 84-year cycle between ingress into the sign of Aries by the planet Uranus. And the previous cycle, during which Uranus transited the sign of Aries, really shook the world to its core. We saw it was also correlative to Pluto's position in the sign of Cancer at the time, but a lot of demagogues and very charismatic leaders enter the political landscape. But as Uranus is sort of the troublemaker of the solar system, it was enough to encourage people to go into extremes without thinking about it first, very much like the horns down image of the ram that represents the sign of Aries. And during that period of time, which ranged from 1927 through 1935, we saw the absolute worst of a boom and bust cycle here in the United States. It was particularly damaging and life-changing for the U.S.
Well, now, I remember years ago, I saw a book in the used bookstore, which was printed at the early part of the last century. It was around 1901, and it was by an astrologer named Hazelrig, and a lot of other astrologers had previously written about the natal chart of the United States and some of the cycles and so forth. But he was the first one, to my knowledge, to write specifically about that 84-year cycle, which corresponds to the planet Uranus. Now, Uranus had particular significance for the recurrence of events of the United States. And he showed time and time again there were major events that happened at these intervals of either a full cycle of 84 years or a portion, a harmonic portion thereof. He showed that very clearly in his work. So now, Rob, how would that what have been your observations on the 84-year cycle or harmonic parts thereof specifically as it relates to the chart of the United States?
Well, the planet Uranus, particularly when it's transiting the sign of Aries, has correlates with a lot of violent weather conditions. As a matter of fact, in March of 2011, I had written in my newsletter about that, and I was using too tight of what we call an orb, in other words, the area of effectiveness as measured by degrees. Otherwise, I would have caught that enormous storm of tornadoes that swept through the Midwest later on in April. I think my cutoff day was around the first week of April. But certainly, as Uranus transits certain degrees in the sign of Aries, it affects the United States very greatly. In the last cycle, we saw a lot of erratic weather conditions, and in this cycle, we saw a lot of erratic weather conditions. The range of 8 degrees to 10 degrees Aries seems to have a lot to do with economic conditions in the United States. And the planet Uranus, which is roughly 12 degrees, 20 minutes Aries right now, began its retrograde motion on the 17th of this month. So it is heading back towards those degrees right now.
Now, where in the United States chart, where is the planet Uranus?
That is transiting the fourth house.
Okay.
Which is an angular house and thus carries more weight. That's a house that has more significance to it. And it also deals with things such as real estate values and commodities and actual living conditions at home.
Okay, now we've had kind of a bounce in real estate after the initial drop, which I was able to predict in 2007, and after the drop, we had some recovery. But now, in light of the natal chart of the United States, the factor of the planet Uranus affecting economic events in the chart of the United States, what does it look like for real estate?
Well, I think that as this retrogradation has begun, at the least, you can expect these recent gains in real estate to be tested. That's the best case scenario, that those recent gains are going to be tested. Worst case scenario, obviously we could be seeing some serious downward pressure. Correlative to a broader economy that's going to take a big hit later on this year.
Okay, now those who have not studied the last super cycle, in the Great Depression, you had a sequence of events where you had obviously everybody, I'm sure, knows about the crash of 1929, but it wasn't just the drop in stocks. You had in the 4-year period between 1929 and 1932, you had well above 5,000 bank failures. I spent more than 12 years talking with people who lived through the Great Depression, or their parents had firsthand experience with the Great Depression, because this information is not being taught in the colleges today to the economists and in the business schools, etc., to the financial planners, the financial advisors. I know this because I have a degree in economics, and they never taught us about what actually happened. They talked, the only thing they had in the textbooks was that the Great Depression need never happen again because we've got all these safeguards. Okay. Well, again, my real education, I believe, began after I got my degree. So what you have, for example, it's never taught about, you can in the basic Econ 101 textbook, you can read about the mechanics of the multiplier, for example. Now, what this means is you can go to any standard college textbook and what they will do is they will openly admit that the sovereign government, which could issue the money supply without borrowing by exercising its not only its right, but its duty as a sovereign government to issue the money supply into circulation without borrowing it into circulation from a private central bank like the Federal Reserve Bank. So can you imagine not having $14 trillion in debt? Well, if the government would do its constitutional duty and issue money into circulation instead of printing bonds and then borrowing the money from the Federal Reserve Bank, if it were to do that, then we wouldn't have $14 trillion in debt. And also, we wouldn't have these boom and bust cycles like the Roaring Twenties followed by the Great Depression. They will teach you, they'll admit in the basic Econ 101 textbook that the vast majority of the money supply, that's more than 90% of the money supply, is not printed. It's not currency. It's not coins. It is, in fact, a series of bookkeeping entries out of thin air in cyberspace today. It is a series of bookkeeping entries by the banking system, and so they'll admit that the vast majority of the money supply is not created by the government at all. It is not printed. It is created as bookkeeping entries in the private central banking system. Now, they'll tell you that, and then they'll go even farther. They'll tell you that through this accounting sleight of hand called the multiplier, the money is created through the banking system and that the banks are not just lending money that's already been issued into circulation debt-free by the sovereign government, but in fact the banks are crossing over the line and creating money through this accounting sleight of hand called the multiplier. And they'll even go farther. They'll admit that this is more than 90% of the money supply. They'll tell you that, but what they will never explain or admit is the fact that in this process of creation, when the bank makes a bookkeeping entry, let's say credit Mr. Smith's account $100,000, that money did not exist before the bank loaned it as a bookkeeping entry. They'll tell you that much. They'll even admit it. But what they'll never admit or explain is the fact that in that process of money creation, only the principal is created, but the interest to pay back on the principal is never created. So therefore, once they credit Mr. Smith's account $100,000, they have in fact added $100,000 to the money supply. But at the same time, if they charge, let's say, $10,000 in interest, they have simultaneously created $110,000 of debt. Now, again, the money supply has been increased by $100,000, but the debt has been increased by P plus I, the amount of the principal plus interest. And so what you have in this temporary illusion of prosperity, and this is the old Rothschild trick, they will flood the system with debt money. So what they did in the Great Depression sequence is they basically just about double the money supply in about a 5-year period of time. So if we call the money supply X, they double the money supply, they created it to 2X. But what the economics textbooks never teach in the colleges to the economists, the financial planners, the advisors, the accountants, etc., they never teach that when the money supply is expanded from X to 2X, the debt has been expanded by X plus Y, where Y is the interest. X plus Y being greater than X, the debt is not payable. You could raise taxes to 100% and lower government expenses to zero, and you still couldn't pay the debt, because from the very moment the money is created as debt money, only the principal is created, but the interest to pay back on the principal is never created. That's why the Roaring Twenties were followed by the Great Depression. It's not just a probability when you have a debt money system. It's a mathematical certainty. So now what we have in the latest reports on the FDIC is the FDIC has reserves of 0.45%. In other words, for every $1 million that they're insuring, they have $4,500 to back it up. Now, by any classical accounting definition, that is a definition mathematically of insolvency. So you have basically, by their own admission, they are saying that by any standard accounting definition, they're bankrupt. That's not, those aren't my numbers. Those are their numbers. So, again, in this predictive cycle, astrologically, how do these cycles that we're in as far as, the problems again, we've got Detroit just declaring bankruptcy. Hopefully the banks will be okay, but again, the numbers are the numbers. How does this fit in with, are we going into astrologically a repetition of the previous super cycle?
I believe the answer to that question is yes, but that it's going to be far worse this time. Astrologically, what the U.S. is facing, first of all, the whole world is going to be facing these circumstances to some degree, but the U.S. Is what I focus on, and the effects are going to be particularly damaging here in America. First of all, towards the end of October, October 31st, Saturn is going to be in the sign of Scorpio, and Scorpio rules over what we call the eighth house, which is the house representing literally sex, death, and taxes and debt. Saturn is the great collector. Saturn is cold and ruthless, and Saturn rules over the sign of Capricorn, which rules the knees in the human body. And people, if they're old enough, probably remember tales of the debt collectors that used to break people's kneecaps. There's no coincidence there. Along with that, at that time, October 31st, 2013, the planet Uranus, which will still be retrograde at that time, and crossing through that very dangerous set of degrees in the U.S. chart, 9 degrees, 26 minutes, Aries will be forming a square to Pluto, which will be at 9 degrees, 26 minutes, Capricorn, in the U.S. first house. This means that this square, or this inharmonious aspect between these two very potent stellar influences, is going to be what we call angular. It's going to be in the first house and the fourth house, meaning that the influence is going to be very dramatic. At that same time, Mercury, the planet of communications and commerce, is going to be retrograde, also in the sign of Scorpio, separating from a conjunction to Saturn. And this will come just days before Jupiter begins its retrograde motion. I believe that this corresponds to a belief that the international bankers are going to begin their stage of collection later on this year. And when it begins, it is going to be ugly.
It is what it is. One can, if the volume of debt is greater than the total money supply, one can be an optimist and the debt's still not payable. One can be a pessimist and it's not payable. One can be a Democrat and it's not payable, or a Republican and it's still not payable. Those numbers are the mathematics of a simple, absolutely basic. Again, you can never pay back 4 eggs if you receive only 3 eggs, and the bank owns all the chickens, I believe is the old saying. But now, Rob, let's talk about some of the other work that you're doing. Are you still doing natal astrology for individuals?
I do some. Mostly what I do right now is horary astrology. In other words, if somebody has, and Let me first state that horary astrology is very helpful for people who don't know their exact time or place of birth, because I'm using this old medieval technique. I'm casting a chart for the question itself. If somebody has a question about career or health or marriage, whatever the case may be, I cast a chart for the question itself. The question is born at the exact time and longitude and latitude where I'm at when I understand the question. The ancient philosophy on behind horary astrology is that the same stellar conditions that will cause sufficient need in an individual to have a question answered will many times hold the answers to that question. So that's, as far as my client work is concerned, that's the primary focus of my work right
now. Well, now, what some Missourian might say is, okay, so, you know, results have you had with doing horary work before? Show me.
Yeah, it's that's a difficult.
Obviously, you have to maintain the privacy of your clients, so you know we wouldn't want to mention any names, obviously. But now what are some examples of people that you've helped in the past?
Well, we have been able to overcome hindrances in career by identifying individuals that were maliciously holding people back, uncover perhaps an unfaithful partner. Could be business, could be intimate. Gain insight as to what might the conditions that may be encountered with a relocation, a move for career or whatever the case may be, and also lost items. I've had some very good results locating lost items. Horary is an interesting discipline because it has a very interesting set of rules that you have to play by. Modern people who would consider themselves modern astrologers don't play by all the same rules that the medieval astrologers set up for.
Well, that brings up an important issue because some people who might not be familiar with astrology, well, you know, why should I do or have Robert do why should I have him do a horary? I mean, I can just open up the paper and I can read the. I can read the paper. So on my sun sign. So, you know, how would you answer that? I mean,
well,
are the things people reading and that people are reading in the sun sign astrology in the paper, is that in any way as complex as or as accurate as a precise horary chart?
No, I would have to say that what people are reading in the paper is strictly for entertainment purposes. And, you know, I'll share with your listeners that I began my study of astrology as a skeptic. And I was quite skeptical. And fortunately for me, I've got Libra on my ascendant, so I tend to be fairly objective. I really wanted to prove it wrong, but the more I studied it, the more I found that I could not prove that that astrology was not a very relevant art, and to this day, I'm still amazed by what sort of information, particularly in the periphery of a matter, that I can flesh out of a horary chart.
Well, now let's zero in on the mechanics of this, because in the sun sign astrology in the papers, that is several weeks of lumping everybody together that were born at very different times, even though they're the same sun sign. Their charts could be as different as night and day. How precise is the is the timing that you use when you are initiating a horary chart. How are you you looking at weeks within the question, days within the question, or hours or less?
Well, I'm working right down to the minute and the fraction of a minute in many cases.
So this is not comparable to what people read in the paper at all.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's the difference between having a dial tone on a radio with all the different stations, and you know, and maybe you take 1/12 of that entire dial and you try to lump all the radio stations into this. That's not going to work very well. And that's what they're doing, when they read the paper and they might think that they've got something. And of course the language is written in incredibly vague language. So almost anybody could personally interpret anything there's no precise language in those, as you say, entertainment, writings in the paper. But your work can again be tested when you do a horary. Either you're giving very precise parameters, are you not?
That is correct. And, you know, it's the type of thing that I warn people ahead of time. Be careful of the question that you ask, because I'm going to tell you exactly what I see in the chart.
All right, we've got about 25 seconds here. Let's give your website out one more time. Downloads. It's robertwilliamusher.com, robertwilliamusher.com. robertwilliamusher.com. Thank you, Rob. We'll be back with David John Oates in the next segment.
It takes no prisoners, apart from Tony Blair. Britain bites back. You are listening to a special broadcast of The Truth Frequency.
London calling. This is London. London calling.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Now that big business has finally discovered the preparedness market, it becomes difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, with the best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and much, much more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. And don't forget to look for the deal of the day. Unique and affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. And get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, food independence, and self-reliance, visit MyPatriotSupply.com. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Is it possible that we are being manipulated by archetypal dramas that have controlled humanity through the millennia? I am Sienna Leyen, and in my creative work of nonfiction, Stealing the Moon, a secret so powerful is revealed that it threatens to expose the unacknowledged history of our dominator culture. Stealing the Moon tells the story of psychologist Dr. Natalie Stern, who voyages into the hidden world of her own shadow self following a nervous breakdown. There she unmasks and transcends the dark energies that she has carried for lifetimes, illuminating a path of freedom for those willing to voyage into their own shadowland and reclaim their authentic energy. For more information or to purchase your copy of the book, please visit stealingthemoon.com.
Broadcasting worldwide in complete defiance of the U.S. Patriot Act and the NDAA.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Known about, but is becoming so. And as we listen to the beautiful music, we'll be doing a whole series of interviews on the exciting field of reverse speech. David John Oates is the discoverer of reverse speech. And David, we've got a whole new set of listeners here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. Could you tell us a little bit about the basics of reverse speech for people to discover it?
Oh, right. Well, for me, it goes right back to 1984. I was running a heart playhouse for sick kids, and some of the kids had heard that if you played rock and roll records backwards, you could hear these evil messages. And they were playing their records backwards and getting quite scared by what they found, and they came to me and asked me about the topic. And I'd heard of the whole thing. I thought the whole thing was ridiculous, and I went home and played a couple of these records, or tapes actually, tapes. I rewinded Walkman to play in reverse, and I played a couple of these tapes backwards, and much to my surprise, I thought I could hear some clear messages, and the first thing I did was obviously check to see whether the soundtrack had been altered or manipulated, and it hadn't. And there was no superimposed message on the track, and my curiosity was most definitely aroused. And I think why don't we just gradually ease into this over the next hour? And I think what I might do at this stage is play you one of these very first traversals that aroused my curiosity. And this is one of these clear backward messages. And this is a song by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Okay, and I'm going to run it forwards first. Here we go.
It was down in Louisiana.
And I'm going to run this in a small section of it. I've clipped a small section out, and I'm going to run it backwards for you twice at two separate speeds, one normal speed and then the other one just a little bit slower. And to see if you can hear him singing, "I Believe in My Cool Woman." Oops, sorry, wrong section. Okay, that was playing forwards again. Okay, here we go.
I believe in my cool woman.
And that's straight backwards. And I'm sure you'd agree quite a clear phrase. And I was intrigued, to say the least. And I started running my whole musical collection backwards, and it took me about a couple of months, and I played all my tracks backwards at home, and I'd started preparing transcripts. And actually, ironically, I was just going through some of my old transcripts from 84 this afternoon, just sorting out my stuff, and it was a bit of nostalgia reading some of my first transcripts back from 84. And just by chance, I stumbled across the phenomenon in normal human speech. And no one had ever considered looking at speech or even thought it was in speech. The fundamentalists had claimed that it was the evil messages. Well, I'd found a whole bunch of messages that weren't evil. They were about love or political conscience. Neil Diamond in his song Suleiman was singing the verse, Vietnam, we want peace. So obviously not an evil message there. And I was finding, so the phenomenon had gone far beyond evil messages to me. And there was something clearly in this. And then came across it in normal human speech.
For those listeners who are not previously familiar with reverse speech, what's the difference between what you found and something like backward masking on some of these records, like the Beatles records, right, where it was artificially inserted?
Right. Should be explained. There's actually two separate phenomena that people do get confused. There is a recording technique called backward masking, where you lay in a track backwards in the recording studio. And so when you're playing the track forwards, all you hear is gibberish, okay? And then you've got to play the track backwards and you hear this very clear message. Now that's called backward masking. That's deliberately engineering the soundtrack. That's what the Beatles did. John Lennon was actually the very first person who experimented with backward masking in his song Rain. He accidentally spliced it in the last part of the track backwards and liked the effect and began fitting with intentional backward masking. And see, what that did was teenagers started playing their record backwards and they started finding these other messages that were not placed there deliberately. And this is what we're talking about now. This is what has come to be known as reverse speech. This is unintentional backward messages where there's no technical insertion.
So there's no manipulation. There's no laying of a forward track on a record when somebody plays it backwards. This is a totally natural phenomena.
This is a totally natural phenomena. It is occurring here. I haven't got to my theory yet. I'm sort of leading up to it. So let's just play an example of speech, and then I'll get to my theory, and then we'll start playing a whole bunch more examples of speech. This is a very well-known soundtrack. This is Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. So we're going to run it forward first.
It's one small step for man.
And we play it in reverse and see if you can hear him saying, man will spacewalk. Quite clear and quite apparent. I was amazed when I found that. Let's just play one other clear one this week before I move on to my theory. This is a politician named Bob Dole resigning from the Senate. I want you to listen to the passion in his forward speech.
You do not lay claim to the office you hold. It lays claim to you. Your obligation is to bring to it the gifts you can of labor and honesty, and then to depart with grace.
And this one, I won't tell you what this one says. Let's see if you can hear what this says. I'll run it twice.
It's an honor.
And for those who missed it, he said, it's an honor. And here it is again.
It's an honor.
Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play the whole track backwards and see if you can hear that phrase mixed in amongst the gibberish.
It's an honor.
You hear it right there, right in amongst the gibberish. You hear a little bit of gibberish, and then this clear phrase jumps up out of the gibberish.
It's an honor to be able to make you say you.
Anyway, I started finding these phrases everywhere, all throughout speech. I had friends come over, I taped them talking. I mean, I had music and went on the back burner at this stage, and I had friends come over, I taped them, and we'd run the tape backwards, and we'd find all these incredible, amazing things, and it was quite an amazing experience. And And it wasn't, I kept on fiddling with it for about 3 years. It wasn't until 1987 I was encouraged by a good friend of mine, Greg Albrecht, to write a book on reverse speech. Oh, not reverse speech. We hadn't called it reverse speech at that stage. We actually called the book Beyond Backward Masking because it was the next step beyond intentional engineered messages. Anyway, we compiled all our findings together and we started noticing all these incredible connections, like the forward and reverse, usually related to each other. Like when Neil Armstrong walks on the moon, he doesn't say, I'm playing a game of golf. He's talking about spacewalking, which is exactly what he's doing, walking on the moon. So, a period of 3 or 4 years, I developed my theory of reverse speech. And the theory basically states that the process of spoken communication is twofold. As the human brain is constructing the sounds of speech, it's putting those sounds together in such a way that we're saying two messages at once. One is forwards, that's what we are consciously aware of speaking, and the other one is in reverse, and we are unaware of this form of communication. This is the unconscious self-speaking. And it communicates the truth. Well, actually, on the surface level, it communicates the truth. If someone is lying forward, you can get the truth in reverse. If someone has hidden feelings, like they're being very nice to you, but they really hate you, then you're going to get that come out in reverse. It's who you really are on the inside that is what is coming out in reverse with people's speech. And I call it reverse speech, the voice of the unconscious mind. And it's an amazing discovery. It opens us up to the world inside, which other than hypnosis and NLP, we really haven't, and others, and that's not fair, there's some other disciplines as well, but it's been, this goes way beyond all of those because we can hear the unconscious speaking in an audible voice and telling us exactly what its thoughts are, what its feelings are. It will tell us the reasons for behavioral sabotage patterns that we're running. If someone has a constant problem with depression, it's going to come out and tell us why that depression is there, which then makes the whole therapeutic process a lot easier to work with. Anyway, so that's it in a nutshell. How's that, George?
Well, that sounds extremely good to me because I can vouch for it. And why? Because I've been a student of David's for quite some time now, and with the studies that I've done as David's student, I know that it works, and I can vouch for it 100% because I've seen and heard the accuracy of it time and time and time again. It's an incredible, powerful technology that, of course, has many applications in relationships and business, etc., to know if someone is being honest or not. How many times have people wondered should I sign this contract? Should I go into this business deal? Are we compatible? You know, does this other person really love me? Etc. Again, obviously the ramifications are quite amazing and very useful on those levels. It goes beyond that, however, because there are different levels of reverse speech, and it is, I believe, the ultimate adventure. It's a journey into the inner mind. It's opening day. What David has done is open up a whole new universe for the first time we can receive messages from the unconscious in a very precise fashion. Again, not just and another thing you mentioned, if someone is suffering from depression, I can compare that to someone, and a lot of people, it's epidemic. People that are doing well in business, you know, they're they're still depressed. There are people that, by all standard measures, should be quite happy. There's an epidemic of usage of antidepressants in the United States. And again, how much better it would be to zero in on the problem like a laser beam and correct it on the unconscious level than to pop antidepressants. And that, to me, that's like saying, okay, there's an alarm bell, a fire alarm going off. Well, we yanked the fire alarm off the wall. Now that solves that problem. That's analogous to, you know, taking the antidepressants. Again, you've had some pretty spectacular results with working with people, have you not, David?
Oh, well, dramatic results. I have a very busy therapeutic practice. In point of fact, I'm booked out solid. Where do I start? I see lifetime problems turned around. I actually specialize, surprisingly enough, in money blocks. Actually, probably 60 to 70% of my clients are coming to me for money-related issues. And we all know how tough money is and how we all block our ways to success. Well, reverse speech will tell us exactly why that block is there, where it came from, what purpose it's serving. So there's always a positive payoff for whatever negative patterns we have, and we've got to deal with both of those issues in order to get past it.
Just to whet the appetite of our new listeners, could you give a couple of examples? One of predicting a future outcome where the business is going to be fantastically successful, the other on avoiding a potential disaster.
All right, okay. Here's a business man talking about, I don't even know what this example says now, so we'll just play it forwards. All I can see is reversal, so here we go.
He is very, very excited about setting up a seminar stroke educational business with me and Sarge and Pete as well.
Oh, yes, I know this one. Okay, all right. Yes, I know the story behind this one. All right, this is a... This is a client of mine who's talking about going into business with a seminar entrepreneur, okay? And Reversal says, earn a massive fund, F-U-N-D, with this.
Earn a massive fund, yes.
Could you hear that one there, George?
Uh-huh.
Earn a massive fund with this. Now, a fund, F-U-N-D. Now, I actually know the story behind this because I actually only heard about it a week ago. And they just did a seminar in Malaysia where they brought in $500,000 gross in one weekend, which was...
Oh, my goodness.
Based on that reversal, he went into business with that guy. And... here's another one that talks about success. I know the story behind this one too. And here we go.
But I have no capital. I have to be able to make some capital somewhere. And flipping at the moment seems the most obvious way of making some capital. So we buy below market value, do the place up, sell.
Okay, so she's talking about buying houses at a low market price, doing a market and selling for a profit, okay? And she's got very specific techniques that she follows. And Russell says, work the patterns or you can't fail.
Work the patterns and you can't fail.
There it is.
Work the patterns and you can't fail.
Hear that one?
Work the patterns and you can't fail.
This is amazing because here we have the unconscious mind actually predicting a future outcome.
Right. Oh, yeah. Very, 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 very common. Look, I've got a couple of negative ones, but they don't use nice language. I think we'll get away with it with not saying what it is for, okay? Is that all right?
Okay, so we have on the air, we can't say certain words in forward speech. I don't know about any such application as far as the regulations go about reverse speech, but again.
All right, look, we'll just play one. We'll just play one, okay? All right, this is a man I was going to go into business with, okay? And he was going to be the agent for my books.
Well, we would negotiate that with Anchor Point when we go over there, yeah. Yes, I agree with you. I agree.
That way we contain sole rights to the books.
Yeah.
The channel for us. Now, are Anchor Point always going to be publishing these books?
They have options on my next book.
And here he says to me, I'm so full of... And I'll let you determine what the last word says.
Okay.
So clearly, a man who you do not want to trust.
So you didn't sign the contract.
No, not at all. No.
He sounded great in his forward speech. That's...
Oh, he sounds great. Oh, yeah.
But there We have David's just given us examples of some congruent reversals where the reversals were in harmony or congruent with the forward speech versus the last example that he gave. The reversal was completely incongruent with the nice sounding guy who was not to be trusted. So that's just. Again, that's just a small sampling of the power of this technology.
Yeah, and here's another incongruent reversal. This is an evangelist preaching a sermon.
Great things, Warren, and I can do great things today. My friend, it just narrows itself down what he said to Simon Peter by the Sea of Galilee, lovest thou me.
This reversal says, my advice is rancid.
My advice is rancid. My advice is rancid. My advice is rancid.
So, clearly not a man you want to go to for counseling. Now, let me play the whole lot backwards, and I want your listeners to notice how this phrase just jumps up out of the gibberish. And this is how it works. You run pace backwards, you run back 10, 15 seconds worth of the gibberish, and suddenly, bang, this really clear, grammatically correct, clear phrase will jump out. Then it goes back to gibberish again for another 10 or 15 seconds, and bang, then another one pops out. So that happening, depends on the conversation. In a normal casual room conversation, you'll find them once every 10 or 15 seconds. In the prepared speech, they'll drop to once every 1 or 2 minutes. We'll talk about reasons for that in a sec, but let's just play this whole lot backwards. Here we go. Right there. You can't miss it. Sticks out like a sore thumb. I'll just do the little section again. No tricks. All I'm doing is playing the tape straight forwards and backwards. You hear this forward.
It just narrows itself down what you said to Simon.
And backwards. And all you can see, all I'm doing is playing the tape forwards, backwards.
What?
There's no tricks, no manipulation. It's straight back.
What's happening there, David? Could you explain to our new listeners? Obviously, when you played that tape backwards, there was some incomprehensible gibberish. Then you have the reversal, and then it becomes gibberish again. So what's going on there? How do these reversals jump out or stand out from the gibberish?
Okay. All right. Look, it's one of the, well, let's tackle that question right now. It's one of the misconceptions surrounding reverse speech in the, after I've been doing it for almost 30 years now, that it's everything backwards is meaning. There is no gibberish. Well, that's a fallacy. That's not everything backwards is meaningful. They are only occurring Now, admittedly, they're occurring fairly frequently at very regular intervals, but it's not constant. It depends entirely on how much right brain activity is in the speech when you're speaking. If you're in a very emotional state, you may get reversals almost constantly, once every 2 or 3 seconds. They'll be as frequent as that. In a normal, casual, relaxed room conversation, you'll get them once every 10 or 15 seconds. You know, right brain activity is not as high. My theory is the left brain is speaking forwards, the right brain is speaking in reverse. Now, once you get to the other end of the scale of a politician reading a speech, he's very left brain. He's got, unless he's in a very charismatic, well, it depends. It depends. I mean, like sometimes the best verses you'll find is when they really get emotional, or generally in the reporter's questioning after the interview is where you get most reversals. But in the public speech, they'll drop down to once every couple of minutes. It's not constant. I don't know why it's not constant. You know, I just document what I find and report my findings.
All right, and are you still with us, David?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I just finished my train of thought. I was waiting for you to come back in.
We've got about 52 seconds before we go into the break. The breaks are, I believe, very favorably organized with Truth Frequency Radio Network, because they're on the half hour instead of about every 10 minutes, but let's give out your website in the last 30 seconds here before the break.
All right, website is www.reversespeech, all in one word, .com.
7.5 million downloads.
All right, we'll be back right after the break with David
Johnson. Change Manifesto. This is the Zeitgeist Manifesto. This manifesto shoots from the hip. It takes no prisoners. Apart from Tony Blair. Britain bites back. You are listening to a special broadcast of the Truth Frequency.
London calling. This is London. London calling.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel? Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
David gave us his website, which is reversespeech.com, and you can go there, and David has literally thousands of examples of reversals on famous celebrities, politicians, as well as many other individuals, where you can see the validity of reverse speech being demonstrated over and over and over again, as well as the books that you can order that David has written about reverse speech, and also the classes that David teaches. The field of reverse speech as far as becoming a reverse speech practitioner is wide open. As you can see from the first segment of this show, just a beginning sampling of the applications, the potential for using this powerful technology is fantastic. It has a lot of potential upside, a lot of potential growth as more people find out about the power of this technology. And on the other hand, the number of reverse speech practitioners are very few. And so David does teach students. It's not something, a set of skills people can learn overnight. It does take a lot of hard work. It does take a lot of practice. But again, the time that you put into study is well worth the effort, both on a practical application basis as well as personally being rewarding for expanding our personal horizons. This is, I believe, not only something that potentially be very, very beneficial as far as the applications, like going into a successful business, avoiding an unsuccessful one. But it also has it is also very personally rewarding, and it expands our horizons. It is tremendously personally enriching. It is, again, something unique. It's never been done before this whole new world, this window into the unconscious, has been opened in and can be tested and can be proven in a very precise scientific manner. And David will give us more examples of that. David.
Let's see. We're talking about therapy. Let's look at some examples in therapy. And I want to start off by playing you an example from a woman who had money issues. Like I said, about 70% of my clients are for money issues. And here is one of them.
She and I need to work this issue out, but it started to bring up all my money fears and stuff. And the thing is if I know I start sourcing fear again, then I go way downhill.
And here we have a reversal that says, work on my grief.
Work on my grief.
Work on my grief.
Very clear.
Work on my grief.
And once again, let's play that whole track backwards. Here we go.
Work on my grief. You're smelling
it. There it is, right there. Quite, very clear and obvious amongst the gibberish. Okay, so this reversal is serving two functions. A, it's pinpointing one of the reasons, or a significant reason, for her money issues, which is grief. And it's telling us, it's giving us an instruction for how to help work through this money block, this money issue that this woman has, and that is to work on her grief, to explore areas of grief in her life. And this opened up a whole new avenue of therapeutic exploration. We talked about her childhood and abuse issues and abandonment issues, which really led her to have a very sad upbringing, and that had directly affected her ability to make money in the future. And so there's a classic example.
What about David? Earlier we talked about you gave an example of how superior reverse speech was to, for example, popping pills or antidepressants. Reverse speech is going right to the heart of the problem instead of trying to put a patch over it. And one example that you gave stands out in my mind, and that was you could have all the affirmations in the world, or you could think all these positive thoughts, but if the hypnotist that is guiding you to think positive is giving you negative commands or negative thoughts in reverse and sabotaging you on an unconscious level.
That raises a whole lot of other issues. Okay, here's a weight loss tape. Okay, and it was actually my sister was listening to it, and not only was she not losing weight, she was putting it on. She gave me the tape, said, "Here, David, listen to this. What's this guy saying backwards?" So here's some of his affirmations.
When your conscious or subconscious mind notices this, then either one will begin to focus on the thoughts and or the feelings.
And this one says, the loss of love with the evil.
The loss of love with the evil.
Wow.
The loss of love with the evil.
Very clear.
The loss of love with the evil.
So that's a negative command that he is putting out. So he's giving a positive command forward and a negative command in reverse. And that's what we call a classic incongruity. And seeing only 10% of the mind picks up what we're saying forward, the other 90% is picking up what we're saying in reverse. Guess which one's going to win?
Well, if you've ever just tried affirmations and they haven't panned out, there's an example of what might be happening.
A very graphic example of what might be happening indeed. Yes.
And another example of the superiority of the reverse speech approach to any other approach.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, sure. Guess what, Danny? You're talking about popping pills. Here's a classic example of a woman who was suffering from severe depression. Okay, and she one stage. She says, well, she starts to get a bit positive and says, I'm going to start to sort my life out. So here we go.
I started doing something about my life, about the situations that I found myself in.
And here she says in the verse, need more sunlight.
Need more sunlight.
That's the unconscious directly saying, listen, to work with your depression, you're going to get some sunlight. And so this woman cut down all the trees around her house, took down the curtains from her windows and let sunlight in, and within 2 weeks her depression had almost completely disappeared. And, a regular therapist or a psychologist could very well prescribe Xanax or Zoloft or whatever it is they use.
And just keep running up the tab when the patient comes back again and again and again. But now, this brings up something very interesting, because One of the books, among many of the books that David has written, is a metaphor dictionary. So let me ask you, David, the sunlight, that is something that could be taken in a literal sense, get out of the house, get some vivifying rays from the sun. Is it also a metaphor?
Yes, it could very well be a metaphor. We'll spend the program talking all about metaphors, but over 70% of all the language in reverse speaks a metaphor. The unconscious thinks in pictures. At the very deep level of the unconscious, human behavior and personality is orchestrated by a complex series of metaphors and archetypes. And reverse speech allows us to see that metaphorical map or archetypal structure that is creating behavior. And my whole approach to therapy is that behavior is happening at the root level, at the deepest level of the unconscious mind. This is part of the mind that regular hypnosis doesn't reach. Regular hypnosis is working on the subconscious. Reverse speech is working on the unconscious. It's a totally separate part of the mind altogether. And so reverse speech allows us to see the metaphorical structures that we are running. And my whole approach to therapy is, let's find the metaphorical structures that the clients are running, and then we'll change that metaphor. Okay, let me give you a classic example. Here we have a woman, once again, with money issues. And I think this is the one where she has a slip of the tongue, and she says, I want to make at least $50 a month for the program. But she meant to say, I want to make at least $500 a month for the program. So here we go.
I want to be in profit, which means I'd like to earn at least $50 a month from the program.
And she says in the verse, my wolf in the slum.
My wolf in the slum.
My wolf in the slum.
Again.
My wolf in the slum.
So what does that mean? Well, we break it down. We've got two metaphors in this reversal, wolf and slum. Now, wolf is a very common metaphor in reverse speech. I'll hear it probably every client I work with, and I'll hear some reference to the wolf. The wolf is our inner strength. It's our determination. It's our confidence. It's our motivation. It's our ability to drive ourselves forwards. A strong, confident, dynamic person will have a strong wolf, whereas someone who's timid and tends to hold back, afraid to step forward, may have a very weak wolf. So this woman is saying her wolf is in the slum. Now, slum is a metaphor for poverty, a lack of success, no money. And so her wolf that drives her is caught in a cycle of constant poverty and no money. And so this wolf is living in the slum. Now, in order to change that pattern, we have to change the metaphor. And that's what I do in my work. I've developed a unique form of hypnosis where we go down to the deep unconscious and we change the metaphorical and archetypal structures. And the woman who's wolf in the slum, I'll literally have to see a picture of a wolf in slums, in old broken down buildings. You know, maybe you'll see some homeless people are scattered here and there, and the wolf will be weak and insipid, and we change the picture by coaxing the wolf or taking the wolf out of the slum. And then we're going to have to do some more work to make the wolf well, but anyway, the point being, the metaphor of the wolf in the slum is creating the money block, and it's creating the lack of flow, inhibiting the flow of money in this woman's life. So to change the flow of money, you've got to change the metaphor that's stopping the money from coming in. Does that make sense? It's a whole new approach to therapy. There's no therapy that does this or thinks in this. Jungian is probably the closest to what I'm doing.
You said what is probably the closest?
Jungian? Carl Jung's work?
Okay. Now, this to me is the difference between the approach of you know, throwing spaghetti on the wall and then hoping something sticks, and something like a laser beam. Because what you just demonstrated, David, is with two metaphors, the unconscious mind is giving a very precise map of the problem. Very precise, because right. These metaphors are a universal language. They happen in reverse speech over and over and over again. Wolf is the most common metaphor that I've encountered so far in my studies. And again, your remedy is precisely tailored to exactly the words that she gave in her right. reversal, exactly to those two metaphors in conjunction. So it's the difference of a very, very scientific, precise approach and an approach which is just basically probing in the dark and then, you know, just right. hoping for something that might or might not happen.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. It gives me exact instruction and precise. Look, it's as significant to psychology as what the discovery of the X-ray was to understanding the internal working of the physical body. It's of that significance. We can now have an X-ray vision into the unconscious and see what's happening. And that's incredible. That's an amazing discovery. You know, I mean, I've been sitting on this for 30 years now, and I'm still waiting for the world to wake up and say, gee whiz, wow. You know, I work with about 20 or 30 clients at a time, you know, probably over the course of a year, I have a couple of hundred. I mean, that's 100 reversals each tape multiplied by 1,000. I mean, I've probably got millions of reversals on my computer. And, you know, I just had a friend stay with me, and we were chatting last night about all this. And I said, look, all anyone has got to do is come and knock on my front door, come and sit down and listen to some of these tapes. Listen to some of the reversals. I've got millions of them on my computer. You know, all sorts of transcripts and all sorts of problems and issues. And the evidence all exists. There's thousands of reversals on my website. If you want to learn more about it, you know what, I just uploaded a whole bunch of ebooks to Amazon.com. I did that this morning, and they're at incredibly cheap prices. So go to Amazon, search for reverse speech, and if you want to get some ebooks, download them from Amazon.com. I've just uploaded four of my books, so there you go. But of course you can get the software from my site and a whole lot of other stuff. So, and the reverse website has got articles, got dozens of articles and tests that we've done, and I've got a couple of skeptics articles up there and our reply to their skepticism. And,
You mentioned something that we didn't touch on earlier, and that is I mentioned the books that you've written and the fact that there were thousands of examples of reversals on your website at reversespeech.com, but I didn't mention anything about the software. So here's a tool that people can use to start seeking and searching for and isolating reversals.
Absolutely. In order to work with reverse speech, you've got to have a means to find them. And we have the software that does exactly that. You can download it from our website, reversespeech.com, and start experimenting for yourself. And record your friends as they come over and play them back. You'll be amazed what you find.
But now, what if somebody says, now I'm intrigued, now I'm not very familiar with the subject matter yet, but it sounds interesting. I might want to just get my feet wet a little bit and test this out. Where would a good place, if someone is interested but wants more data before becoming convinced, where's a good place to start?
Oh, well, you know what, probably a little five-minute tape, you know. A couple of my analysts, I don't do them anymore myself personally, I don't have time, but there's a good analyst in New York, Wayne Nicholson, who has a website, thehiddenlanguage.com, and he does
What's the website again?
Thehiddenlanguage.com.
Okay.
And he does five-minute tapes. And I send people to him quite a lot. And that's a nice, easy way to wet your feet. And, you know, just record for 5 minutes, talk about...
You have an introductory sampler as well, do you not?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, look, sure. I mean, we've got lots of introductory samplers. There's the reverse speech hobbyist course. Which is a 6 CDs, an hour each, that takes you through the basic steps that you'll need to know in order to both locate reversals and interpret them. That's it's not designed to get you to professional level, but it's a nice, good way to wet your feet and get started. Also, I've just released a metaphor series. It's a 14 metawalks, generic metawalks that take you through the major dysfunctional metaphors that I have found over my years of work and repairs. So it's a wonderful journey through the metaphors of the unconscious, and that's a good inexpensive way of getting started too.
Okay, now the scope of this, if someone were to sample the technology, become convinced that this is definitely worth study. What are the steps to becoming a reverse speech practitioner? How does one study to do that?
Right. Okay. Well, currently, the only live classes I'm currently doing are in London. I've got another one coming up in January of next year. We're doing another live class in London. I have attempted to get a couple of classes going in America on the two or three occasions, and it's really been an abysmal failure, unfortunately, and why that is so, I don't really know. But I've got a very good following in London. However, there is a correspondence course available, and in my last class, which I did in London January this year, we videotaped, and you can download that from the website. You got all 6 days of training. It's six days from 9 to 5 of intense training, and takes you all the way to analyst level. You're going to have to spend several months doing homework. There's a lot of work involved. Class takes will give you a good guide, and then you're going to have to sit down with your headphones on and practice and learn to find reverse speech. So there is a way to get started. All that's on my website, reversespeech.com. So,
right.
And if you want to try the 5 minute tape, don't remember Wayne's site, just email me and I'll forward it on to Wayne for you.
Okay, so you can sample something for free. So again, contact David on his website, and you can get some more data to convince yourself about the powerful applications of this technology.
Yep, amazing technology.
Also, you work with reverse speech for almost 3 decades now. Obviously you have had some obstacles on the way to happening today, which is a major breakthrough. I guess there is at this point a huge amount of interest in Britain on reverse speech as well as around the world. People are discovering, but obviously some powerful people might not want this technology in the public's hands.
Well, yeah, I underestimated that. I underestimated the dark side. Yes, can you hear me? Hello.
Hey, did we lose? We've got a couple of minutes left.
Hello.
We have David's website again is reversespeech.com, and I would urge all of our listeners to check that out because it is an incredibly powerful technology. And again, the proof is in the pudding. You can prove it to yourself. There is that sequence of gibberish where you have incomprehensible, and then you'll hear a gap, and then you'll hear the reversal, and then another gap, and then it will go back gibberish again. So again, I have proved it to myself, and the proof is in doing. I mean, the only way to get started is to get started. Get some of the courses, get some of the books, and then the software, and then start recording, and then looking for reversals, and simply prove it to yourself. Again, it's a skill set which takes a lot of practice. There's a lot more to it than just simply searching randomly on a recording in a reverse mode. It is a lot of hard work. It is a lot of study as you progress through the sequence of studies in reverse speech. You have a physical, literal level that we demonstrated where the reversals were incongruent with the forward speech. So David gave an example of the businessman who sounded great, the publisher who sounded great in his forward speech, but in reverse, his reversal was incongruent, and that's not somebody you'd want to sign a contract with. Wherein in some of the other examples David gave, the reversal was totally congruent with the forward speech. One of the amazing things to me is that the unconscious mind is actually predicting the outcome of a future event. Like, this business will be successful at some point in the future, 6 months or a year from now. That is one of the mysteries of reverse speech. How do we explain the unconscious mind predicting the future, predicting a future outcome? Well, that's it for this first show, and we will be back next week with more reverse speech. Thank you, David.
See you later, George.
Is your privacy important to you? Is having all of your assets well organized one of your priorities? Do you wonder if your business and personal estate will be protected for your family and not taken away by government bureaucracies? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then now's the time to find out about Freedom Bound International's Pure Trust. A Pure Trust organization is protected by the Constitution and is not subject to government regulation. Property held in a Pure Trust is free from liens, levies, or other actions filed against you. You can find out more about Freedom Bound International's Pure Trust and schedule a trust consultation simply by calling toll-free 1-888-385-FREE. That's 888-385-3733, or log on to www.freedomradio.us. Call us now for information and to schedule a trust consultation. 888-385-FREE. That's 888-385-3733, or online at www.freedomradio.us.